Imagine what kind of person you'd be if you had never had a chance to travel, to see different countries and experience other cultures that have different ways of living. Filming on location over the years has taken Martin Sheen to countries where some of what he saw could break your heart. He credits this awareness with impacting his activism since the 1960s as an advocate for peace, environmental, and social justice. Martin joins us today on Travel with Rick Steves to tell us about it. Martin, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Rick. I'm just delighted.
You know, it's so interesting to think about what shapes us as individuals. What makes you you and what makes me me, you know? Now, your mom was Irish and your dad was Spanish, and you've traveled a lot as an actor. Let's talk about what helped shape Martin Sheen. First of all, your mom, Irish. So what?
Well, my mother was sent to the United States to await the outcome of the Civil War because her family were IRA and...
Oh, the Civil War in Ireland.
The Civil War in Ireland. Right. Yeah, I didn't think my mother was that old.
No, I was going the arithmetic there.
Yeah,
the Irish Civil War. Yeah,
the Rising was started in 1916 and ended in 21, and then the Republic, it was undecided which direction it wanted to go.
And so she was sent out of the country.
Yeah, her father was IRA. Uh-huh. He was a master slater. He put slates on the tops of roofs and so forth. They sided with the anti-treaty thing.
Yeah.
They wanted to unite the whole island.
Right.
And
your grandfather
was an
IRA leader.
No, my uncle.
Your uncle.
My mother's brother.
Your mother's
brother. And
I gotcha.
Yeah, she was. There was a great advantage that the young IRA girls had, is the British would not search anyone under 18. So
now how did that impact who you are today? Because I really am tuned into this. We are, in a lot of ways, a product of who our parents were.
Well, it taught me
what we've done. What did your mother leave?
It taught me to hate bullies and love justice.
Hate bullies. Oh, there you go. Okay. Now, your father was Spanish.
Yeah, and another Civil War.
Another Civil War. Oh.
Well, in fact, my father was born on the day that the United States declared war on Spain. He was born July 2nd, 1898. So when he came to the United States, Spain had lost Cuba and the Philippines and a few other spots in between. But there was a quota on Spaniards. A lot of people don't realize this. And so he came with his brother. He was 16 at the time, so that was in 1914. And the two of them were bound for Port of New York, and they got there. And there was a quota on Spanish immigrants at that time because of the war. It was still lingering, you know, with it was a new
Because of the war, they had a limit on how many spenders
exactly,
they would accept.
Yeah, so they got on the next boat to Cuba.
Okay.
And my father and his uncle Alfonso worked the sugarcane fields. My dad was there for 3 years.
Yeah.
And then an opening came to come into the United States, and so he came in through Miami.
Okay.
And he came in as a Cubano. He was naturalized in Dayton, Ohio.
Okay.
And started working in the NCR factory. My mother came in 1921 at the start of the Civil War because her family and she had been on the side.
So they both came to America because of those Civil Wars,
and you came out of that. Yeah.
Does the fact that you jumped?
Well, my father's was the war with the United States.
Right.
My mother was.
Oh, I see. Right. Yeah.
They had made peace with the British. They didn't drive them out entirely. They didn't want to. They just wanted to control their own destiny and what they did. But they had difficulty deciding what kind of republic Ireland would be. And so that was decided between 1921 and 1923. So she was sent to the United States to be safe, to live with a cousin in Dayton, Ohio, and just to outwait the Civil War. And she met my father meantime and fell in love with what she called the handsome young Spaniard, and taught him to speak English, and they became citizens together. And they were married in 1927 in Dayton, Ohio.
Okay. And, and their son was Ramon Antonio Gerardo Estevez.
Yes, that was one of them,
who eventually became Martin Sheen. Okay, so little Ramon spent a lot of time on movie sets. You were very immersed, I think, in the Philippines for months on Apocalypse Now, weren't you?
Yeah, very
Tell
much,
us about that.
Yeah, the whole family was there, for most of it. Yeah.
What was that like, and how did it impact you?
You know, they had been in Europe with us and in Ireland and Rome and so forth on various shoots, and even in Mexico, but they had never seen that level of poverty in the Philippines.
Yeah.
The worst I've ever seen in the world is India, but the Philippines is pretty close.
And you made a point to bring your family along.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
And your children were quite young at that time?
Very young, yeah. We got there in 76. The film took almost a year.
It's good parenting, isn't it, to expose your kids at a young age to that sort of thing?
It depends, because I learned a lot of things later that we didn't know were going on.
Such as?
Well, Emilio and I wrote a father-son memoir, and we didn't know what the other one was writing until the book was published. So we learned one very, very profound moment is Emilio talked about that Lawrence Fishburne saved his life, saved him from drowning in a boat accident they had that we were totally unaware of at the time.
Martin Sheen's our special guest right now on Travel with Rick Steves. You know Martin from dozens of movie roles, including Badlands, Apocalypse Now, Catch-22, Gettysburg, and Gandhi, and his TV work on The West Wing and Grace and Frankie. From his early years in the Catholic worker movement, Martin has long spoken out on social and environmental issues around the world. Among his many honors, Martin is a trustee of the International Peace Museum in his hometown, Dayton, Ohio. Previously on Travel with Rick Steves, Martin told us more about the influence of his travels and why he's re-released the movie The Way, about a father's journey along the Camino de Santiago in Spain. You can hear those at ricksteves.com/radio. Martin, you've been arrested, 68 times for demonstrating, and this comes out of your heightened sensitivity about justice issues.
Yeah.
So when you spend time in the developing world and troubled countries, I mean, you're in the Philippines, and that's not Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
No. There was a trash heap called Payeta, which was in just outside Manila in Quezon City, and it was the reciprocal for most of the urban area's trash. And I was called to go there on one occasion. I had been to a pretty horrible one some years earlier in Guatemala. And because children live on these trash heaps and their families live in and around them. And it's devastating.
Yeah.
But the worst one I saw was in
really, because I've been at that one in Guatemala City.
Are you been to that
I can't imagine the worst one.
Yeah,
any megapolis in the poor world will have that. And the poorest of the poor scavenge in the garbage.
Yes, they do.
They hitchhike. They hang on to the dump trucks as they come into
as
the place.
Sometimes they slip under.
And then it's and the birds that are prowling through all of that. And boy, that's a powerful experience.
It's very powerful.
You can't unsee that.
You cannot. And I remember my heart is just so cracked open is the only image I can use that you're never going to be the same, and you're not going to get away with this. There is something is going to be different. You're going to, even if by only remembering it, it saves you from doing some measure of violence or waste or whatever. But more than that, you're motivated to, because you see the other two-thirds of the world, really. Yeah. You are changed in ways that you cannot control. The heart is now involved.
Yeah.
And it's, you've seen, felt, and you've smelled.
That affirms a phrase I always like to use. Thomas Jefferson said, travel makes a person wiser if less happy.
Yeah.
It makes it tougher to be complacent.
No, you can't be complacent.
And you're far from complacent. Yeah. No, Martin.
I remember saying to the padre who was taking us on this tour, who was a Colombian priest, and he went there all the time. He serviced the people who lived there.
In the Guatemala City garbage dump.
He was in the one in...
The Philippines.
In the Philippines.
Okay.
And I remember saying to him, we're going to have to pay for this. And I don't even know what made me say that, but I felt a responsibility.
We're going to have to pay for it how?
We're going to have to pay for it in some deeply personal way, because you know it.
Yeah, right.
You lived during this time, and this was going on while you were alive. It's like saying, people who deny the Holocaust,
I've got a phrase, in your travels, you can choose Mazatlan or you can choose Managua. If you choose Mazatlan, it's easy. You're going to get a tan on the beach, and you're going to drink margaritas or sunburn. But, for the same time and the same money, you could go to Managua, and then you can have your heart cracked open, like you like to say.
Yeah.
So now you've made movies in Mexico, Catch-22, and The Catholics in Ireland, and Badlands in Colorado, Cassandra Crossing in Rome. When you think back on those experiences, Martin, what lasting souvenirs do you take away from that as a caring person who's traveled?
I don't always know what the effect is on my kids. I sense it sometimes.
Right.
But I cannot deny what has happened to me, what changes with me in Third World. And that is the sense of responsibility to at least acknowledge it and let your mind and your heart lead you to, you know, the better part of yourself, for lack of a better term. In other words, I knew that I would never be the same, ever. And you don't want to be the same. When you know these things, particularly as an artist, as an actor, we call so often on our personal experiences. And those experiences are not just memory. They are part of our whole being.
Right.
They're part of you can't separate. You know, as a phrase I use is, our effort is to unite the will of the spirit with the work of the flesh. Even if we're not conscious of it, we have a sense that we are dual in our makeup and that we cannot separate them. And when we're in the Third World, we get a very clear picture and an opportunity, if we're open and if we're vulnerable. Vulnerable is the key word, because from that vulnerability comes our compassion. And compassion is the one grace, I think, that changes the world. It's compassion. It's about caring, because we have felt something and been moved to change ourselves. And as I say, I don't know if I can ever change another human being. I stopped trying, but I'll never stop trying to change myself. And I'm motivated by that level of compassion.
We're exploring the value of travels in shaping our lives with Martin Sheen right now on Travel with Rick Steves. I know when you have been on sets over the years, you've made a point to take your family with you. And I know that talking to Emilio, there's all sorts of legends in your family about how the kids and your wife on the road managed. Tell us the story about your wife cooking with a big gang of locals, or what's a moment that you just treasure as a father?
I think, well, they're the Philippines comes to mind. But before that, in 69, I was doing a part in Catch 22. And we were on location in Guaymas, which is about halfway down on the Mexican side, on the Sea of Cortez. So we were there for about 4 months.
Four months?
Yeah.
And with the family, filming
a
movie.
Yeah, and I did not have a big part, so I had most of my time off. So I got very familiar with the village and the people there. And we rented an apartment outside town. Guaymas at that time was a way station for NASA, where they would clock in with the the astronauts would be orbiting, and that was one of the way stations along the way that did report from Guaymas.
Yeah.
There were a number of Americans there, and they lived in this community, I think it was called San Antonio, outside of Guaymas, and we were able to finagle an apartment there for a while we were there. So we were kind of with an American community.
Mm-hmm.
But what was real clear is they were not really making connection to the community that lived there, that were part of the real community. And if you have kids, no matter where you are, they'll make contact with who's ever there for whatever reason, and they did.
That's a very practical bit of advice. When you do have your kids, remember they're gonna be the social icebreakers in very creative ways.
Very much so.
You might not be comfortable doing.
Yeah, and even if you might be led into certain neighborhoods where you wouldn't ordinarily go, but you're going there to pick up your kids, and so you're going to have an extraordinary experience of what it is to engage with locals. And it happened. And there were several families. They were fishermen. They were very, very poor. And they had large families, and they started coming to the house for dinner, and sometimes for breakfast they would show up, but they were omnipresent the whole time we were there. And one of them asked me to be his sponsor for Primera Comunión, you know, which you need a sponsor in there. And I did. And
for what? What was that?
First Communion. Primera Comunión. This little boy called Manuel. And so I did. And it's so memorable.
Some little boy in Mexico has Martin Sheen for his sponsor.
Yeah,
all right.
Primera Comunión. And Alan Arkin, who was the star of the movie, we were friends, and he was an amateur photographer, and he liked it. So I told him about it. He said, can I come and photograph? And I said, of course. And so he did. And he took a lot of pictures, and so we have some of those pictures. So this part of area where we lived was on the other side of the tracks in a way. So we were very enmeshed in the community.
Right.
One occasion, I remember there was a huge carnival, and we took all the kids, and Ramon got lost. And we said to one of the kids, can you find Ramon? 5 minutes, he had him back with us, you know. You never worried about being kidnapped or harmed or anything.
All of these months in, in developing countries with the family, never really had a serious mishap.
No. And it's interesting because there was a slaughterhouse nearby, and it was just at the apex between where the kind of the other side of the track started, and we were on that side.
Mm-hmm.
And we would hear these horrible screams, you know, the animals were being slaughtered during the day, and it was endless, and everybody was kind of used to it, and you'd walk by it, and they would be dropping off animals for that. And one night, we heard these screams, and we thought, that's so odd, they're slaughtering at night, no. And we looked out the window, and there was no lights on in the slaughterhouse, and we realized that the other side was the graveyard, and that this couple had lost a child. We saw the funeral because we saw the procession. It was a tiny white coffin, so we know, you know. And they'd come the night of the burial to mourn by themselves, and they were...
What an impact that had on your young children,
yes,
I would imagine.
Yeah, we all just couldn't believe the sounds of grief we were hearing from these parents. They were... It was a prayer. It was a... Yeah. Exaltation. It was extraordinary.
Those are the impactful experiences that stay with you. Martin Sheen is sharing how his worldview and activism have been shaped by his travels right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Martin and his son Emilio Estevez joined me to film a discussion about the value of our travels. They added that to the re-release of their movie, The Way, which takes place on the Camino de Santiago. It's available to watch on a number of streaming services. Hey, Martin, what prompted you to give the movie a second run after its initial release back in 2011?
Well, since the ending of the pandemic, there has been a sense of now is opportune time that we'd missed before. People were always putting things off, but then, you know, because of the pandemic, everything was put off, no matter if you had the means or the time or otherwise. So we feel that there is a need for people to find this possibility to not just have a vacation and explore more, but that they can find a way to unite the will of the spirit to the work of the flesh so that you can have a vacation and an interior journey to your own heart that will bring you to places that you can't even imagine until you go there.
Wow. Thank you very much, Martin, for being with us, and bon camino.
Buen camino, and keep on traveling.
You got it. Martin Sheen and his son, actor Emilio Estevez, tell us more about why they re-released their movie, The Way, and what it's like to be a pilgrim on the Camino de Santiago. You can hear their earlier visit with us from a link with this week's show. It's at ricksteves.com/radio. Getting hungry? We're traversing the streets of Florence in Italy next with a local food tour guide who recommends her favorite Tuscan treats. It's Travel with Rick Steves.